This is the Wrestling With Your Calling podcast with Dr. Conrad, Season 2, The Matters of the Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Conrad Davies. For this season, we're going to do a deep dive into the matters of the heart. Proverbs 20 and 5 will be our lead scripture. It says, "The purposes of a person's heart are like deep waters, but a person of understanding can draw them out." I pray that we become a people of understanding who draw out the deep matters of the heart. I'm excited about what you will learn today. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, welcome back again. Another episode of Wrestling With Your Calling with Dr. Conrad. This season, I'm really talking about deep matters of the heart. Some of this is all the themes, some of it is in my book, Wrestling With Your Calling. If you haven't gotten a copy, pick one up. I am working on a book that's going to be about the matters of the heart. I still got a lot more research and things I'm doing on it. And hopefully, either by the end of this year, I can get it out. Love your feedback and your reflections on things that I'm talking out right now. I'm using this podcast to talk out a lot of it. There's so much to this book. I'm wanting this book to be like most of my books. I'm wanting my books to be very interactive and active, not just you just dump full of knowledge, and then it may bring insight, sure, but I'm wanting you to go process as well, particularly process it with the Lord. My biggest desires when I'm writing is that it helps you to get deeper with Jesus, helps you to go deeper with Jesus, helps you to go deeper with Holy Spirit, and to really spend that time. It helps you. My hope is that the will of the Father will get revealed because of your intimacy with God. And so I got a lot going on. And then also, I'm going to partner with you as a brother. And even if you don't know the Lord, I can still partner with you. I've got friends of mine that are agnostics, atheists. It's not even about, ideally, you knowing the Lord is important and is good, and he's your creator. And so you want to go back to your maker to find out your specifications, your design, who you are. Yet, if you're not there yet, that's okay. But the scripture is very clear. It says, no one could come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And God is the Father, and his Spirit is the drawer. And so if you're not at a place where you're ready to say yes to Jesus at this moment, it's possible the Holy Spirit could be drawing you, and you're at a phase. Say it's a 10-phase process. You could be at phase one right now, and you may have 9 more phases until you respond and say yes to Jesus. But if you're willing to go there and have conversations, I'm going to be authentically who I am, and I'm going to ask you to be who you are at this stage. And we walk together. You know, I believe and I desire for you to come to know the Lord Jesus, because he alone is all things were created by him, for him, and through him. And I desire for you to know him. So whatever that process looks like, so don't just feel like, oh, I'm not a Christian. He's talking about Christian things. I can't relate. No, you're human. We all need God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We all need it. But if you're not there yet, that's okay. But if you're willing to have the conversations, and I can give you wisdom and insight by the grace of God of those things that I feel the Lord may be wanting to do with you, but then there'll come a point where you're going to have to say yes to Jesus or not, or reject him. Just wherever you are is where you are. It's okay. So feel free to reach out as well. Don't feel like that you have to be a Christian for us to talk. Because again, I spent 12 years at the University of Kentucky, and I was around all kinds of people with all kinds of faith traditions. And faith traditions for meaning religious, not necessarily just Christian denominations, but other religions. And I had fascinating conversations with my Muslim friends and my friends that were pantheists and agnostic and atheists. Hundreds of conversations with all kinds of people. And I coached them through the matters of life. I coached them through all kinds of things. I was authentically Christian, and also authentically I used scripture and the wisdom I learned from the scripture. Some things like use code words, things like, well, the Hebraic scriptures say, because you think about it, the Bible is a Hebraic literature. The people that are Hebrews, who we refer to as the Jews, but they're Hebraic ethnically, they created literature. There were 40 Hebraic authors, and these 40 Hebraic authors told a story. Well, consider the literatures we have in English literature, the Shakespeare's, who he wrote his stories, or the other kinds of English literature. Consider the Greek literature, all the Greek gods and the Greek mythology. Consider Roman literature. Consider the literature of so many people groups that are all over the planet, and they were written down, and these stories are passed on from generation to generation. Well, let's put the Bible on the same table. It's different. It's got more power, I believe, because I believe the Hebraic people were special, chosen by God, and God wanted to teach the world about his character and his nature. I believe that's the essence of the Bible. He's wanted to teach the world about his perspective on life, and he used the Hebrews to do that. But it's still literature, and we can still look at it as literature. If you know, and then as you're looking through the literature, we start to see the handprint of God on a people group, and they find themselves being the most persecuted, the most uniquely, singularly, most powerful people group ever. Now, it's not because they're special in their humanity. It's more so because of the God of the Hebrews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were the patriarchs. That God was powerful, and he was telling a story through this people he chose for purpose. Again, Hebrews are not special in the sense of their inherent nature. They're human, just like we are. But yet God used them, and God being with them showed their power. So the Bible's got power, which is different than every other literature that's out there. But we can still put it on the same table to process it from a certain angle if we wanted to. But then you'll see the power of God come upon you. So I use Hebraic literature for wisdom and insight and revelation. And I love it. I read the scriptures a lot. And I love reading the scriptures because that's the power of God. It's there. I want to know his character and his nature. Didn't expect to go the other day in this conversation, but I'm sharing that with you because a lot of it is that there's a lot of things to be thought about and processed. And as we go deeper, we're going to need God's word. We're going to need God's revelation, God's insight. In fact, what leads this season is God's word in Proverbs. The heart of a man, or the purposes of a man's heart, are like deep waters. One translation says the counsel of a man's heart are like deep waters, man or woman, but a man of understanding will draw them out. So these purposes, this counsel, these deep things in the heart, it claims that a man of understanding, a person of understanding, can draw out these deep things. There's insight there. There's understanding there, deep parts of the heart. And again, the word picture I've been using, like the heart is like an ocean, really big, really wide, a lot of volume. And that this idea of our scuba gear trying to be deep sea divers can't handle certain depths. So the water pressure will kill us. And so we need revelation. We need understanding. We need a place where God has to take us to deeper places and give us understanding and insight. And I've prayed that prayer over and over again. So for you, and as I think about today, I'll just kind of park this in this idea of the power of God's word. I'll just kind of stay there. And because only God's word alone can be the examiner of our hearts. I'm reminded of David's words. I think it's Psalm 139 at the end. He says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart, and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." There's something about the Lord searching, knowing the heart, and leading David. And David is crying out with his prayers, like, your word alone can see me at that level. Your word can examine and cut, like the Book of Hebrews, the writer in chapter 4, verse 12 talks about, it's like a sword. It cuts. It divides soul, spirit, joint, marrow, ligament, sinews. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word that's even everlasting, that his word alone can go to those deep places. In fact, if we think about it this way. You were created by word. The beginning of the scriptures in Genesis, this is talking about in the beginning was that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the earth. This water ball, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over it. And then God spoke, and he said, "Let there be light." So to think, here's this earth created, I believe, by God's word, this water ball that it was. And then here is him speaking, and movement is happening. Now consider what I'm saying. Speaking, words. John, the gospel writer, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Word, the Word, the Word. The Word became flesh later in chapter 1, and the flesh was Jesus. And then other scriptures that say things like all Colossians chapter 1 that talks about all things were created by him, for him, and through him. He's the one who holds all things together. So to think, God's Word is what the essence of your very being is. You're created by his word. He spoke you into existence. So the essence of your life is word. And so to know the distinctions of what goes on and who you are and what and the things that you do, you'll need God's word, which is the essence of your life and the essence of your fabric of who you are, to get clarity, because he spoke you into existence. And the power of the spirit world speaking the physical world into existence, we have to tune into the spirit world, and that's which is a spoken world, and that is the thing that needs that brings you into the fullness of who you are. And so when Jesus says things, or actually Moses said it, and then Jesus said it again, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God, we've got to consider that that's true. Because the essence of your life was built on the word of God. And so if the essence of your life is built on the word of God, if you are devoid of the word of God and you're listening to every other person's word and not God's word, you're missing critical elements of learning and understanding who you are, what your life is about, the calling and the direction that you have in life. You're missing all of that because the journey that you're on is a journey that's devoid of the word of God. And so this is one thing, how I argue the importance of the word of God and how reading it, learning it, getting revelation from it, letting God speak to you through it, letting Holy Spirit lead you in the truth and guide you. If you're not in the word of God or letting the word of God examine your heart, test your heart, show you, reveal things in your heart, just like if you didn't listen to my episode on how last year in February 2023, the Lord is like, you won't let me comfort you. And I'm pushing back and saying, I know you as comforter. And he said, nope, I didn't say that. I know you know me as comforter. You won't let me comfort you. If I'm not letting the word of God bring to such a slight distinction and separation in my heart, I'm missing something. And then what I was missing was that I knew his title. I knew his identity. I knew his character, but I didn't allow him to apply that in my life. And so over this last year, to see the beauty of letting God be comforter has been precious. And I'm so much more healthier. I'm stronger. I'm much more whole. And I can see how that department of my heart, that emotional department, is so much better than it's ever been before. And it's still, I still have a lot of progress because I have decades of a pattern. And now the Lord is helping me to change those patterns because it's I had a lot of false comforters. They were my friends, but they never really gave me full comfort. Some things were healthy, some things were unhealthy, but to let God give me full comfort has been a joy, an absolute joy. So friends, I share this with you because it's quite powerful and it's humbling to think about, but I want to encourage you today to consider that the word of God is the greatest thing and that you have, greatest weapon, if you will, that you have to do all kinds of things. In fact, I'm having all these scriptures come to mind, so bear with me kind of dump this at you. Again, there's a lot here. The ocean of the heart is deep. It's really deep. So I could be doing this for the rest of my life every single day and still not articulate enough. So bear with me just kind of dumping what's in my heart with you right now. But it makes me think about Ephesians 6, that one of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which says is the word of God. And it's the sword of the Spirit, a piece of the armor that's to offensive and attacking, and it has some defensive elements, is the word of God. And we're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. So there's something powerful about allowing God and his sword and his word to be an offensive weapon in our lives and defensive weapon as well, but just to swing the sword. If I can kind of end this time today to challenge you, will you allow the sword to cut you in your heart, Hebrews 4:12? And will you also use the sword to be an offensive weapon in your life and a defensive weapon in your life, the word of God to cover you, that you would use it and love it, pray it, proclaim it, read it, chew on it, meditate on it, love it. My charge to you today, and friends, is the process. Will you go back, for those of you that have lost this, will you stop reading everyone else's words about God's word? You're taking a secondary, tertiary, fourth level. You're so distant from the word that you're missing the fact that, no, you can go to the word directly. And you can meditate and go get the word from the Lord directly, specifically even for you. Because what's happening when you're getting a secondary or tertiary or fourth level word, you're having to go discern and figure out how it applies. And you're having to weed through all the layers of what other people have studied and processed and researched. The Lord wants to come to you directly and says, this is specific for you, son or daughter. Let me speak specifically like God did to me last year. He specifically said, you won't let me comfort you. And I didn't have to go read books about all that. He just hit it straight, hit it plain, spoke to the depth of my heart. And my life has been changing this last year. I'll leave you with that, friends. You're loved. Thanks for tuning in. Hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss the next episode. Peace. Wow, friend. I appreciate your support of this podcast. This season is powerful, and I hope it brings you loads of encouragement, insight, and hope. I hope you listen to these episodes repeatedly and share them with your friends. If you haven't ordered a copy of the book, you can do so at our website, wrestlingwithyourcalling.com. Also, I'd love to coach you, so reach out for a consultation through the website as well. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to email me. All the contact information is below or on the website. And be sure to subscribe so that you're notified of the next episodes. I'll be putting out a lot of content this season. Remember, I want you to become an ace. Go be activated, cultivated, and empowered today. Until next time, friends, shalom.